Oh, excuse me. Good morning, church. It is our confession that, let me get the choir in. I forgot they were coming in. Okay, the gang's all here, and I would remind you, it is our confession that Jesus welcomes all who come to him, and therefore it's my privilege in the name of Jesus to remind all of us that we are welcomed by the Lord who surrounds us in this place, particularly on this Pentecost Sunday. If you have not already done so, even if you have done so, I have some special instructions for the Ritual of Friendship pad this morning. I pulled a page out. And there's all this room over here. If you're visiting with us, we'd like to have your address and phone numbers. And then on the next line, you can fill out this little activity. But if you put your name and then all this extra space over here where there's room for addresses and telephone numbers and all that, if you would write down your favorite hymn or your favorite two or three hymns and put it on there. And I'm going to try to select some of those this summer. But there is one requirement. If you do that, you have to write it so I can read it. Okay, that's important. Because, I mean, I'm going to be saying, somebody's going to say, well, Jack said they never sing the hymns anyway. And I'm going to say, well, I couldn't read it. So you're going to fix that one for me. I do want to give thanks to our youth and for Jennifer and Johnny and Adam Peck and all who made and prepared and worked with our youth last week to make that Youth Sunday celebration a very meaningful time of worship for all who gathered last week. Take a moment to look at the church calendar so you'll know what's going on around here, particularly if you're on the session. We're having a session. Oh, I'm going to talk for a while, Clarence. So, yeah, I've got a lot of notes here to cover. So give me a moment here. Remind the session, we meet tonight at 6 p.m. But even looking at the calendar, you don't always know exactly what's going to happen in the life of the church. This past Wednesday, we received an urgent request from Love, Inc. to come and move 170 beds. That's mattress, that's the box springs, and that's head and footboard, which is another 100, 200, 340 pieces of furniture, one, two for each bed. It seems that one of the dorms at SFA is being renovated, and Love, Inc. was able to buy 170 beds at a rock-bottom price. About 25 members from our community showed up to help move with their trailers and their backs and their arms. And of the 25, I was proud to say that 8 of them, or nearly one-fourth from our community, were Presbyterian. And I certainly want to thank all those who came out to help, because we were able to get the job done in about 4 hours, which was what we had planned. If it had just been 4 or 5 of us, we'd still be moving beds. So, but providing a comfortable bed is one of the ministries of Love, Inc. Love, Inc., when there's a request made, they do a home visit to see that there is a need. But there's always a need, it seems like, for people to have a comfortable bed to sleep in. So I do give thanks for those who helped Love, Inc. do its job of loving people in the name of Christ. I almost let an anniversary slip by. You who know our church history, you may remember that in May 1893, Main Street Presbyterian Church was formed with 12 charter members. In 1930, Main Street Presbyterian built this sanctuary and the manse and moved its church here. They had a problem, though. They didn't want to do what Lover's Lane Methodist Church did in Dallas, and that is move from Lover's Lane to the corner of Northwest Highway and Walnut Hill and still have the name Lover's Lane. That confuses everyone. And so what we did back then in 1930, we changed the name to Westminster. But keep in mind, our church is organized and has been a continuous worshiping body not since 1930, but since 1893. And I did this week. I did the math. How old is our church? Well, you who can do it quickly in your head, this May, This month, we are celebrating 125 years of being a continual church here in Nacogdoches. And I know at the session meeting tonight, we're going to talk about this because we're going to have some kind of shindig. And but congratulations to all of us. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Okay, morning circle, Thursday, 9:30, last lesson on Hebrews. Will the following people stand up if you are here? I know you're not all here, but there are several of you are. Dee Allums, would you stand? Okay, got her. Now stay, keep standing. Ron Anderson? Pat Barnett, I don't believe is here. Lori Fisher? Terry Klein? Myra McNally. Is Bruce in Belize now?
Yes.
Clarice and Hamp Miller. Clarice, you don't have to stand unless you want to. Okay. Okay. And Hamp Miller. Nancy Niehaus. And Barb Stump. I want to recognize those who are standing for their willingness to be a tutor at Brigay Elementary School. I understand some lasted the whole year, some didn't last the entire year, but I understand that you were there once a week to mentor a child, an at-risk child, and I know you made an impact upon a life. You helped them with their reading, I guess. I don't know what all you did. I think there may have been some math going on, maybe a little history, but most of all, you showed them the love of Jesus Christ, not so much by your words, but by your deeds. And we are grateful to God for your willingness to give yourself to this very important mission in the life of our church. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we give thanks for all the children in our community, and may we always be faithful in working with those that Jesus so loved, for we pray in his name. Amen. And one other missionary, let me remind us that Bruce McNally is in Belize today, on Project Belize. Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God. Will you join me in prayer as we use the litany that is found in the worship bulletin? Oh.
We have an introit today, which introduces worship, and he mentioned our 125th anniversary, and I would like you to know that the hymn that we're about to sing, it's a plain chant. It's based on a plain chant that is from the 9th century. So praise be to God that we are still here and still praising him.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, Creator, in the beginning you moved over the waters. From your breath all creation drew life. Without you, life turns to dust. Holy Spirit, Counselor, by your inspiration, the prophets spoke and acted in faith. You clothed them in power to be bearers of your word. Holy Spirit, power, you came as fire to Jesus' disciples. You gave them voice before the rulers of this world. Holy Spirit, sanctifier, you created us children of God. You make us the living temple of your presence. You intercede within us with sighs too deep for words. Holy Spirit, giver of life, you guide and make holy the church you created. You give gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety, the spirit of reverence before the Lord, that the whole creation may become what you want it to be. True and only light, from whom comes every good gift, send your spirit into our lives with the power of a mighty wind. Open the horizons of our mind by the flame of your wisdom. Loosen our tongues to show your praise. For only in your spirit can we voice your words of peace and acclaim Jesus as Lord. Seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this. while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we can approach God in confidence and with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Almighty God, you poured out your Holy Spirit upon the disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as people made one in Christ. Have mercy upon us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit and fill us with the burning desire to be your faithful people, doing the will sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear now these silent prayers we lift to you. Baptized in Jesus Christ, we can know for sure that this is the good news. Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us.
Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace.
Amen.
Seated. Understanding all that has been accomplished through us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the giving of his Holy Spirit, may we joyfully live our lives and give all that we have into his service. And let us now return to God a portion of what he has given.
Thank you.
Lord God, we offer to you our hearts and our treasure. May they be used to let other people know of your grace and of your mercy. May we, in fact, by the way we give, show your peace to all the world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you form to frolic there. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bones. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, our bones is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
What you need? Do you need that?
One day, a man came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. You ever know anybody named Nicodemus? How would you like to have been called Nicodemus? Those are girls probably wouldn't like. They might nickname you Nick. He came to Nicodemus, and he talked to Jesus, and Jesus wanted to tell Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things Jesus tells Nicodemus is that the wind blows. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know which way it's going. Can you see the wind? You can't see it. Sure. Can you see, anybody see the wind? Do you feel the wind? Now, you see the air running through there? Can you tell there's wind blowing? You don't see the wind, but you sure know it's there, don't you? I don't know if this is going to work. This blows it out. It can blow a flame out. Wow. I'm going to need these later. But if I put it on the candle up there, you see the candle? Okay. The wind blows. But sometimes, when you want to light a fire, wind helps. Sometimes there's a fire burning out of control, and the wind blows, it makes it worse. Have you ever noticed that before? My daddy, when he would have a barbecue, is that getting cold? One of the things you notice about the wind is that if it's cool inside, and it's blowing on you, it even makes you cold. Well, my father, he used to have a barbecue, and he'd get all those little charcoal briquettes. Those are, and he put them in the barbecue pit. You see that? And he put a little lighter fluid on it, and he would light it, and the briquettes would catch on fire, and then the fire would go out, but they'd still be smoldering and get hotter and hotter. Well, he got hotter. He didn't want to wait for it to get hot, so he would get a piece of cardboard, and he would fan those briquettes, and he'd just fan it, and sparks would fly, and the briquettes would start turning red, and he would just fan and fan and fan and fan, and it made the fire hotter. I learned from my dad, but I was too lazy to fan. You know what I did when I did my briquettes? I got an extension cord, and I got a fan, and I blew it on those briquettes, and they turned bright red, and sparks started flying, and they got fire, and they turned into hot fire faster. So I can cook my chicken or whatever it is, or corn on the cob or whatever I'm going to put on the grill. The wind can make a fire even hotter. You can't see the wind. You can feel it blowing. If you blow on a big fire, it's brighter. When I burn trash in my backyard, I hope to get all the sticks out in the forest and then get rid of them. If the wind blows while that's burning, it just gets hotter and hotter.
A blacksmith.
Thank you, Debbie. A blacksmith needs a hot fire to bend the metal to make a sword or a horseshoe. And so he has a bellow. And he pumps this bellow that blows wind on his fire to make it hotter. He blows on the fire. He makes the iron hot by blowing on it with the bellow. And then he gets this tweezer. You don't want to pick up. And then he puts it on the handle and he pounds it into shape. Now, Jesus said that when the wind blows, you hear it sound. One day, the Holy Spirit, which Jesus was describing as the wind, can we see my spirit? No. But you feel the effect. And one day, the Holy Spirit came on the church about 40 days after Jesus was raised from the dead. And it gave those apostles great power. They couldn't see the wind, but they were able to go out into Jerusalem and tell people about Jesus. And that same Spirit of God that was in the apostles, you know where the same Spirit also dwells? Right inside. And in you. And you, me, that Holy Spirit of God is within us. We can't see it. Sometimes I think we can feel it. But it's God's Spirit that gives us the power to live for Jesus. That's the name. Lord Jesus, as your Holy Spirit is compared to the wind that makes a fire so hot that we can cook or even bend metal on it. Lord God, we pray that same Spirit.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Birthdays are a big deal. Just ask Georgia Hazel Marshall, who turned a monumental 1 year old a few weeks ago. When Zach and I woke her up on the morning of her birthday, Georgia greeted the day with this huge grin on her face and a squeal that sounded like, "Yay, yay!" We think she knew it was a special day. So we dressed her in one of her cutest outfits, and we celebrated the life of our little one in high style all day with this enormous cake featuring the characters of her favorite TV show, bright, shiny balloons and banners, fun presents from books to bears and a little red wagon, and precious time spent with the dearest family and friends. But the celebration did not end there. In our family, and especially on my side of the family, we like to celebrate birthdays for several days. We have a birthday week, if you will, sometimes even a birthday month. So several days after George's actual birthday, Zach's students in the Kilgore College Corral wanted to celebrate George's birthday too at their end of the semester party. One student brought in a huge chocolate chip cookie cake, and there were these two candles on it. One candle in the shape of an H to honor Hannah, who had just turned 19, one of the choir students. The other candle was in the shape, of course, of a G for Georgia. The girl who brought in the cookie cake then lit the candles, and she invited Hannah and Georgia and me to blow out the candles. So I held Georgia at an appropriately safe distance, took a deep breath, and blew out the small but mighty flame in one giant puff of wind. There was flame, there was breath, there was life. This is how we celebrate our birthdays. This is how we celebrate life and good things and new beginnings. Two powerful elements coming together, wind and fire. They were there in the choir room of Kilgore College, and they were there on another birthday centuries ago, the birthday of the church on a day called Pentecost. Pentecost takes place 50 days after Passover, when the Jewish people retell the story of how God delivered them from bondage in Egypt. And then on Pentecost, it's a celebration of the spring barley harvest. Jewish tradition also maintains that God's law had been given to the people on this day. So on that Pentecost day, described in Acts chapter 2, the past, present, and future collided in their celebration of God's covenant and the hope of springtime. It was a joyful holiday like all of the Pentecost celebrations before it, but then God did a new thing. The followers of Jesus were gathered together that day in someone's house when all of a sudden this violent wind from heaven rushed through the entire place. Then these flames appeared in the shape of tongues, and a burning tongue-shaped flame rested on each one of the disciples. And then Jesus' followers were amazingly able to speak in other languages. Now, it might take us 4 years or so in high school or college to be mildly conversational in another language, right? But for these people, it happened in an instant. How and why? It was the work of God's Holy Spirit. Up until that point, people could know God as Creator and Covenant Maker. And then they got to know Jesus, the Word made flesh. But now they encountered God in a brand new way, a whole new way, as Spirit. Wild, uncontrollable, fiery, life-giving Spirit. The Spirit's work that day was so astounding, the group of Jesus' followers could hardly believe it. They were shocked by the wind and the fire and their brand new linguistic ability. What does this mean? They and the crowd around them wondered. Meanwhile, however, others scoffed and shrugged it off. "You must be drunk," some onlooker said. But Peter said, No, this is what the prophets were telling us about. This is the Spirit that Joel described, the Holy Spirit that will rest upon God's people, women and men, young and old, and it will fill them, burn within them until the good news bursts forth from each of them. It was what we could call a miracle. The rushing wind, the fiery tongues, the ability to speak in new languages. But we could also say that the miracle was not in the supernatural events that occurred, not in the way the disciples could instantly speak in foreign languages. We could say that the miracle is found when the crowd asked, "And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? In our languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." The miracle then was not in the speaking, but in the hearing, the understanding. I enjoy this passage in Acts chapter 2 about the disciples miraculously speaking in different tongues because I've always enjoyed studying foreign languages. In high school, I studied French and Latin, and in college, I double majored in music and German. I've dabbled a little bit in Russian, Italian, and Scots Gaelic, of all things, which may or may not come in handy when Zach, Georgia, and I fly out to Scotland on Tuesday. At this point, I can at least ask a Scot how he or she is doing and respond, "Fine, thanks," when they ask me the same question. But why go to all this trouble? Why try to even learn a language other than the one you grew up with? I remember getting ready to go to Germany for an independent study program in college. I recall being so concerned about my German language skills being up to par, and a fellow American said, "Oh, don't worry, they all speak English over there anyway." And I remember her comment making me so sad, because to me, language is a key. It's a key that unlocks doors between nations. It breaks down barriers from person to person. To be able to speak someone else's language means that you don't expect them to make all the effort in an interaction. It means that you care enough to reach out beyond yourself and your comfort zone to meet someone else where they are. So I try to learn at least a few phrases in the language of whatever country I may be visiting. In 2014, though, Zach and I went with a Methodist mission team to the Czech Republic. And with my high ideals about the importance of reaching out across language barriers, I wanted to learn some Czech too. But let me tell you, that language is hard. Czech is notorious for its intimidating combinations of letters and accent marks. And there are sounds that would make our new Czech friends giggle anytime we tried to imitate them. At one point, our team was visiting a remote Bible camp somewhere in the northwestern countryside of the Czech Republic. There were a few Czech families at the camp who spoke English very well, But overall, our little American group was inundated with hearing the rapidly rippling, gurgling sounds of Czech throughout the day. I was so thankful that in the morning worship gatherings, there would be a kind Czech soul that would whisper English translations to us so we'd know what in the world was going on. We felt so welcome by our Czech Christian brothers and sisters at the camp, but at the same time, we felt so different, so left out because of the language barrier. Then one day, Miloš, a delightful new friend who spoke some English, proposed that our group ride over to Dresden, Germany with him. It was only about an hour away from the Czech Bible camp. It was the day of the football or soccer World Cup finals, and the German team was playing, and how fun would that be to visit Dresden on this big occasion? So yes, let's go have fun. Yes, Germany. Now, German, I could handle. I felt such relief as we hurtled along in a van driven by Miloš on the way to Dresden, away from all that Czech language that I just couldn't decipher. But when we got to the German city, I realized how, like many other skills, language skills can get rusty if you don't use them. Our group needed help navigating around Dresden, and we were all getting hungry and needing some dinner. And they all looked to me with my German major of approximately 10 years prior, and they were looking for my help. So as my heart rate went up, I reached into the dusty corners and crevices of my mind, and I worked so hard to read signs and ask questions of locals and place food orders for our group. We got where we were going, and we got the food we ordered, so I did my job as a German translator. And our time in Dresden did turn out to be very exciting because Germany ended up winning the World Cup, and we joined with the locals in celebrating their victory. German flags were streaming over ancient-looking bridges, and car horns were honking down the streets, but at the end of the day, I was just exhausted, completely exhausted, because it was hard to try to do normal, everyday things in a language not your own. Later on in our mission trip, we were truly blessed to get to know a Czech family, the Veselis, even more personally. The Veseli family are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the father is Martin, whom I've mentioned before in an earlier sermon. Their English is impeccably good, and their hearts are kind and warm. It was a relief to be invited into their home and to be able to converse with them in the language we felt comfortable in. No more trying so hard, no more feeling left out. Even when their church friends came over to their house for a cookout, the family members constantly translated for us to make us feel welcome. And later on, when our group visited Vienna, Austria, we provided music for worship at the English-speaking Methodist church in that city. Again, it was a relief to be able to worship God in our own language, to not only sing and pray with others in English, but to hear and understand in English. During that time in the Czech Republic, Germany, and Austria, I think I came close to feeling like the people in Acts chapter 2. Those people in the crowd in Jerusalem that day were probably used to speaking and hearing multiple languages, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. These were the languages of government, of religion, and of everyday conversation. But when the wind rushed through the house where the apostles were gathered and the tongues of fire descended on them, the crowd could hear God's good news in their own local languages, the languages they used at home with their families, the languages they thought their deepest thoughts in. They didn't have to try so hard to communicate. They understood because God's Holy Spirit was helping the apostles reach out to them. And therein, I believe, lies the miracle of Pentecost. It's one thing to impress people with your multi-language skills, but it's quite another to be the bearer of God's good news in a way that people can understand. In a powerful and challenging way, of course, but also in a way that brings comfort and relief, welcome and acceptance, the way of God's grace. So how do we communicate the good news so that people can understand? Well, it could literally mean learning to speak another language, Spanish, for instance, so that we might reach out to the Hispanic members of our community, or Romanian, maybe, as we care for orphans in the Naroc ministry, or it could mean something else. It could be learning how to speak the language of a child, reading with him or her, tutoring through the Regae program, teaching a Sunday school class. It could mean speaking the language of those in need by lending your truck to move beds from an SFA dorm into the homes of people who need that furniture. It could mean speaking the language of friendship, fellowship, and acceptance to college students. Right now, our Westminster University Fellowship is becoming a UKirk ministry, UKirk being the official campus ministry of the Presbyterian Church USA, and Kirk being the old Scottish word for the church. Our WOFs are officially partnering with our denomination in the hopes of reaching even more of our SFA students. Of course, we want to attract those students who identify as Presbyterian, as well as those in our Westminster choir, but we also want to reach those students who may have grown up in church, but have become so jaded or disillusioned by church, or have been told that they don't belong. These are the ones that the Holy Spirit calls us to speak with in a language that they can understand, the language of love and grace. It could also mean speaking the language of justice and peace. On Friday, a news alert appeared on the screen of my phone. It was a news alert I didn't want to see. It was another shooting massacre at a school, this time just hours from us, at Santa Fe High School, not far from Houston and Galveston. 10 more precious lives taken away in senseless violence. Reports are still coming out, but the 10 victims have been identified. Just seeing some of their faces in news articles and saying their names out loud reminds us of the reality and the humanity in these tragedies. These victims are not just another statistic. They are Cynthia Tisdale, a substitute teacher, Sabika Sheikh, an exchange student from Pakistan shown smiling and proudly wearing a Texas t-shirt in a recent photo, Chris Stone, Jared Black, Shauna Fisher, Kimberly Vaughn, Angelique Ramirez, Christian Riley Garcia, Aaron Kyle McLeod, and teacher Glenda Ann Perkins. The people in Santa Fe and in the greater state of Texas and in our nation weep and mourn again, and the Holy Spirit cries out, "How long and how many more?" The epidemic of gun violence in our country seems overwhelming and complicated, and we want it to end, but we don't know what to do. But still, the Spirit is calling us. Are we listening? Are we ready to speak the language of justice and peace, to speak truth to power? On this Pentecost day, just like that first one, the gusting wind of the Holy Spirit is still rushing through buildings, and flames are still burning, hovering over us, giving us the power and ability to reach out and speak new languages, to proclaim the good news and to live more and more fully as God's people. The Spirit is unstoppable because God has been breathing new life into this world from the very beginning, from God's Spirit that hovered over the formless void at the dawn of creation and poured life into plants, animals, and humans, to the Spirit that turned a valley of crusty, dried-up bones into a multitude of living people before Ezekiel's eyes, to a group of Presbyterians who decided to organize a church in Nacogdoches 125 years ago so that worship, ministry, and mission would come to life and fuller expression in this town, to those of us here today worshiping at Westminster. The Spirit has already been rampaging through here with every bag prepared for the Bags of Love mission, with new members joining the life of the church, with a child baptized, with youth leading us powerfully in worship, with church members traveling far away to bring clean water and health care to those in need, to wherever it is the Spirit leads each of us today and in the upcoming week. Yesterday morning, Zach, Georgia, and I were taking a walk through Pecan Park, and we saw there on the ground about 8 or 9 water bottles, some nearly empty, some nearly full, but all trash. Trash marring the beauty of that green grass. So I started telling Zach and Georgia how horrible that was, how ironically we had just celebrated a water conservation event at that park and had encouraged people to drink from reusable containers, or at least to recycle bottles. And there were those old bottles now littering the ground. We took several more steps, and I felt compelled to stop. Sure, I could complain about how irresponsible other people are, but I felt that I could not go on and leave those bottles there. I felt the Spirit say, "You clean it up." So I did. But now please don't misunderstand me. I know I am not a saint for sure, because I'm sure that there were other bits of trash all over that park and I didn't go back to pick them up. But what is true is that the Spirit moved in that moment. The Spirit called and moved me to speak in a new language, a language of care for God's creation and care for the people who would enjoy that lovely park. Even in those everyday moments, the Holy Spirit is rushing, swirling, blazing, burning still today, and it's reaching out to all of us. May we be ready when it descends upon us. May we act. May we listen. May we speak. Speak so that the world may know God's good news and God's great love. Amen. And now let us stand and affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we approach a time of prayer, do we have any prayer requests that we'd like to share with the congregation? Josie? Yes, yes. We're going to remember the 10 people who died. Yes. Okay, Diana. Philip. Okay, others?
Sorry.
The Nystrom family. Others? Robert. Shirley, yes.
Norma Jean Dalton.
Oh, Norma Jean Dalton. Okay, others? Amy Maurer, yes. Bruce, yes. Thank you. Others? Blanca. Thank you. You're always welcome to spell these names for me, too.
Holland.
Okay. Sorry, one more time.
Kathy Kitchens.
Lee. We'll just say Lee. Okay.
I heard one.
Michael Margaret, yes. Okay. Any others? All right, and before we move into our time of prayer, you can see we have 10 candles up here. They are 10 candles in memory of the 10 victims in Santa Fe, and Steve is going to have a little help from some of our youth in lighting these candles, and a candle will be lit after each name is read. May the flame of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost burn for them and for us. They are Cynthia Tisdale, Sabika Sheik, there we go, we're helping each other, Chris Stone, Jared Black, Shauna Fisher, Kimberly Vaughn, Angelique Ramirez, Christian Riley Garcia, Aaron Kyle McLeod, and Glenda Ann Perkins. And now let us all pray together. Almighty God, you've been breathing life into this world since the very beginning, and the winds of your Spirit rushed into the lives of Jesus' first followers, forming your church. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's power and how it makes us new every day, including this Pentecost of 2018. Breathe into our lives this moment, O God. May the winds of your Spirit blow through, knocking down the dust and cobwebs. May your Spirit enliven us and inspire us. May your Spirit also burn within our hearts and give us the ability to speak and act in new ways so that the world may know you and your love. Your Spirit not only shakes things up and brings new life, it also emboldens and encourages us. Make us strong and fearless, Lord, as we live for you in this world. Lead us and show us where you want us to go, and give us courage to act and speak for you in all of those places where you lead. Your Spirit is a comforter for us too. Bring us comfort and peace as we face hatred, violence, illness, brokenness, insecurity, injustice, and all of the things that bring us pain and struggle in this life. We pray especially for the community of Santa Fe as they grieve. We pray for our nation as we seek an end to violence. And even closer to home, we pray for Philip Morris, Rick Bach, the Nystrom family, Robert Shirley, Norma Jean Dalton, Amy Maurer, Bruce McNally, Zach Georgia and me as we travel, the Blanco family, Wanda Holland, Kathy Kitchens, Lee, and Michael Murphy and his family. And we also lift before you these unspoken requests in our hearts right now. And now, as your beloved children, we are joyfully bold to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Now may we go forth in courage and peace, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us now and always. Amen.